We're going to stay standing, if you don't mind. We're going to pray in just a moment. But we were singing that song a little earlier, Whose Report Do You Believe? You know, we are in the same position that those early saints of God were in the Old Testament when they came to the borders of the place that God had promised them. And they went in, and two men came out of there with the group that went in, and they carried a cluster of grapes so thick and so heavy they had to put it on a solid wood beam and carried it between their shoulders. And it was a type of the cross of Jesus Christ. And the one who has all the provision, who died on that cross, and they came out of this place and they said, it is everything that God told us it was. And you and I can stand here in agreement tonight, and we can look in the Word of God and say, God, it is everything. I believe that in my heart, that it's everything that you say it is. However, there are giants there. And there are walled cities, and there are chariots, and there are things that are formed against us that we don't feel capable of standing against. And you see, they made a wrong choice. They believed the wrong report. Things have been said about your life over the years. You've been told that you were a certain type of person, you had certain limitations. And if you choose to believe that over the Word of God, that's exactly what you will be. The Lord gives a report and said, I know what you've been called, but I call you by another name now. And I have something for you to do that will bring glory to my name, because God would say to you, I'm the only one who could do it for you. And you will know you could not have done this on your own. I will give you power. And you will be witnesses of me everywhere you travel, in your own town, in your own block, in your own city, in your own borough. You'll be witnesses of me. The choice that we have to make is, as we also sang tonight, that we open the Word of God and say, God, you are holy. And that is the definition of His character. That means there's no flaw in you. There's no fly in the ointment. When you speak, it's truth. And what you say, you will do. God, I believe. It says the elders and angels bow and they sing, holy. God, you are holy. You, God, you cannot lie. You cannot exaggerate. You do not tease your people. You do not promise something and not deliver it. You do not tell us to come to the throne in our time of weakness to find help and then send us away empty. Oh, Jesus, no, that's not true. I know your words. I know what you've spoken. You do not tell us that we can move mountains if mountains could not be moved in the name of Jesus Christ. You do not tell us that we could tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy if that wasn't true. You do not tell us that we have the power to condemn every tongue that rises against us if that wasn't true. No, you are holy. God, you are holy. You do not tease us and tell us that in the days that we're living in, that those who know their God will be strong and do exploits if that wasn't true. No, God, that is true. What you say is true. Everything about you is true. Your word is true. Your promises are true. Your power is true. Your glory is true. Oh, no. God, everything in this book that concerns me is true. Everything you whispered in my heart is true. Everything, God, that you tell me I'm going to be, I will be. Lord, when I pray and you speak, you cannot lie. What you tell me, that's the way it's going to be. If you say my children are coming home, my children are coming home, because you cannot lie. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. We are a miraculous people. We are a supernatural people. We are a sovereign people of God, sending the earth to be a blessing to all people. Glory to God. Glory to the name of Jesus. I believe God. I believe He's holy. I believe that when we stand and pray, we can expect the miraculous. I believe that prison doors open. I believe that blinded eyes see. I believe that wounded hearts are healed. I believe the poor have the treasure of heaven open to them in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that no weapon formed against us can prosper. I believe it in the name of Jesus. Whose report do you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you that your promises are true. Thank you, God. We don't stand at your throne tonight in strength. We stand in weakness. But we stand acknowledging who our strength is and where our strength comes from. Lord God, we stand here knowing your heart, that we can pray and you will answer us. And so, Lord, without hesitation, we're coming to your throne now. And we expect you to answer every request on every one of these cards that we hold in our hands. Everything in our hearts we bring to you tonight, we expect you to answer. You are a God of miracles. Men have run out of ideas. Society is bankrupt. Our politicians don't know where to go any longer. But, oh God, you are still alive and still on the throne. And you haven't run out of ideas. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we're going to believe you tonight. We're not leaving here without an answer. Lord, we don't have to leave without an answer. You've already given the answer. You'll simply make it real to our hearts. And Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. If you have a prayer card, if you have brought one with you tonight, could you hold it up, please? Those who do have them. There's a lot of folks. Just look around. If you see someone with a prayer card, gather around that person. They're going to share with you what those needs are. If there's nobody around you, just form into groups of four or five. Just share a prayer request and start to pray. Let's believe God. We believe the report of God. Let's do that right now. Turn around and start to pray with one another. And let's believe for the miraculous tonight. I believe the Lord is going to speak to us this evening. Summit International School of Ministry is producing some fine young preachers. And as part of being partners with the Times Square Church, periodically Pastor Teresa sends a couple of young men or ladies. She really feels have the touch of God and the call of God on their life to pastor or to preach. And there are two young men on the platform with us now who are going to be with us till the end of July. And then there'll be others in the future. I thank God that his plan to turn a situation that seems impossible in a nation has always been a preacher. Always been. There's been a voice or voices that God raises up to call the nation back again to righteousness. And it's a privilege for us as a church to support these young preachers. The young man's going to touch this pulpit tonight. His name is Tony Gallen. He's only 19 years of age. But there is a call of God on his life. He's terrified to be here tonight. So you will be kind, I know. And I know that as you open your heart, God is going to speak to you. These young men are given to prayer and seeking God. He's only a first-year student. He goes back again in the fall for another full year of academics and training. And if you have time, check the school out. If you've never done that before, it's summitpa.org. I think you'd be incredibly blessed. Brother Tony, come, bring us the Word of God.
I would shake your hand, that's what I'll do. I spoke for the first time 2 weeks ago, and I remember telling Yuka, the first time is over. And so we can come to the pulpit now and we don't have to be nervous. I found out it gets worse. So I'm warning you, he's coming up soon. It doesn't go away. God, give me strength where I don't have it. If you would pray with me tonight. God, we come before you. And Father, I thank you, Jesus, that you will be glorified tonight, God. God, we have come to magnify and to exalt your name, Jesus. I thank you, God, that we serve a God that gives us strength when we are weak, a God that has seen our flesh, a God that has seen our inability and sent his Son, a God tonight that says, this is my Son and my daughter whom I'm well pleased in. I thank you, God, for the grace, Jesus, and I pray today that you would hide me behind your cross, God. Holy Spirit, I pray you invade this place, Jesus. Would you bring down that fire as you did on the day of Pentecost, God? God, would you fill this place and would you touch our hearts in a special way tonight, God? Would you do an eternal work, Jesus? I pray, God, that you take over tonight, God. I ask you every thought, may you bring it with clarity, Jesus, and may you be exalted. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I think there are times, and for me it was this last week, and at Summit it happens a lot more, but there are weeks that you will go through, and you begin to wonder, God, I have failed you so many times. And all of a sudden you begin to think, and you remember, and you really become discouraged, because you see the call of God on your life, and you see that God has a purpose, God has a plan, God wants to do something through you, but every time you feel like you want to put your hand to the plow, you mess something up. And it doesn't work. And over the past week, it felt like it was a battle to get into the presence of God. I mean, I had to fight. I had to fight. God, please. And it felt every time I came to the presence of God, it was like the failure was hitting me straight in the face. It was like I remembered the past. I remembered everything I had done to displease God. And it was like there was a brick wall that was standing there. And I could do absolutely nothing about it. And I really got discouraged. And I said, God, I don't know what's going on. I want to touch heaven. I want to feel you. I'm doing everything I can. I feel like I'm reading. I feel like I'm praying. But I don't know what's happening. And God brought me to a place in the Word of God that really began to minister to my heart. And He brought me to a place where He began to tell me, listen, it's not about the past. It's not, because I've already paid for that. And so tonight, I simply want to prove to you that God can bring you back into a place of intimacy, even if it seems impossible. Tonight, I simply want to take a look at the Word of God and show you that regardless of any mistake, God is chasing after you. And that's not my promise. That's not something I want to bring to you. I stand beside this pulpit tonight. I pray God speaks. That's something God is saying tonight. Regardless of the past, I'm chasing you. And I want to restore that place of intimacy. And I want to show you why that place of intimacy is so important in today's day and age. I want to show you why that place of intimacy is so important when everything else is falling around us. I want to prove that to you tonight. The Word of God says, if you have your Bible, you could flip there with me. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 4. Exodus, 3rd chapter. And before we read, just to set the backdrop, we read the story of a man named Moses, a man chosen by God. A man God had a specific purpose and plan for in his life. And we read, it's not mentioned it's not mentioned in Exodus, but in Acts we read in the 7th chapter, Luke writes, and seeing one of them being wronged, he defended and oppressed the man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And so we see this picture of a man called by God, a man who understood, listen, I was put on this earth for a reason, for a purpose. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. God has already told me. But then he makes the mistake and he says, instead of waiting for God And instead of waiting for God in that place of intimacy, I'm going to put my hand to work. God has promised it to me, so I'm going to do it now. And the Word of God says that he takes hold of God's promise, but a little too soon. And he sees his fellow Hebrew, and he sees that he's being wronged. And he goes and he kills this man. And the Word of God says that when he found out that others knew, he fled. And he ran away from the call of God in his life. He ran away from that place of intimacy. And in Exodus chapter 3, we find him 40 years later. He's tending sheep. And God finds him in the middle of nowhere. And listen to what the Lord says. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. And we're going to stop there tonight. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush. Listen, I begin to think of what was going on through the head of Moses. I know of a God. I know there's a God. I can't deny the fact anymore. I know I've run away from the call. I know there's no hope for me. I murdered somebody. And yet, 40 years later, God finds him. After looking for a very long time, God finally says the time is right, and he begins to speak. Listen to what God does. God begins to draw Moses back. God begins to say, regardless of the past, Moses, regardless of what you've done, regardless that you try to take the promise into your own hands, regardless of all of that, I want to draw you back into that place of intimacy. I want to show you that I still have the plan. And just because you took your hand, just because you tried to fulfill it in your own flesh, doesn't mean that the plan is over. Doesn't mean I've turned my back. Doesn't mean I stop caring. Doesn't mean I stop. Doesn't mean the plan stops. I've chased for you. And God says that he finally finds him with this burning bush and speaks. God begins to speak. The voice that soothes your soul can only be found in the presence of God. Listen, you can search, you can hide behind anything you want. But you are here today because there's a testimony. I've tried it. I've tried to look for freedom. I've tried to look for peace, for joy in this world, and I couldn't find it. And it wasn't until God spoke. It wasn't until God spoke. It wasn't until God spoke that I remembered the call of God on my life. That I remember God had a purpose. That I remembered God had a plan for me. That I remember that even though I failed, God still is chasing after me. It was God who began to draw Moses. And listen to what the Lord says next. The Lord doesn't stop there, but he says, Moses, Moses. I love how God calls out to Moses. He calls him by his name. Listen, the creator of the universe, the one who breathed the galaxies into being, the one who mountains melt like wax before his presence. He calls him by name and it says, Moses, Moses. Moses, Moses, did you know that God knows your name? Did you know that regardless of the situation that you are in, God sees? That God understands every trial you've been through, every single circumstance up until this night. And did you know that tonight he wants to speak and say, Moses. Tonight he wants to call you by name. Listen to how big God is. You can't run away from the plan of God in your life. I remember I was younger. I was about 14 years old. And I knew that would get you guys. A little bit younger. And I remember my mom telling me, Mom, I'm going to go see this movie. And I remember saying, Mom, I want to go see this movie. It's not too bad. It's And I gave her what it was rated, and I told her what it was about. And she said, Tony, there's a call on your life. I'm not saying you can't. I don't want to get into a legalistic argument, but God expects more from you. And she told me a story of how they came to America. My parents came from Moldova. My dad's Romanian, or my mom's Romanian. My dad's Moldovan. And they came about 24 years ago, and my mom was pregnant with me. And during the course of that, they'd lost many children, six to be exact. And they had lost babies before this, and my mom came, and her face became contorted. And my dad describes it as, he said, my dad's 6'1", 220 pounds. He's kind of a big dude. And he says, I tried to put my hands to her face, and I tried to put her jaw back together because her jaw was so off to the side. And I didn't have the strength to even put her jaw back. And he says, I became scared. And in hope of coming to doctors that know better, he said, let me take her to a hospital. Maybe they know, you know, this is America. And he took her to a hospital. They didn't know any English. And the doctor said, listen, I don't know what's wrong. It seems like the baby is pressing on some sort of nerve. There is no chance that your wife's face goes back after birth to being normal. But there's a greater chance that if you abort this baby, your wife will be normal. And my dad was faced with a decision. And he had lost children before. He was newly wed. And he was looking at my mom, his wife, and what do I do? And he said, Doctor, thank you for your expertise, but we're going to have to decline. And he took her home. And he sat her down on the bed, and he said, Tony, I don't know who gave me the faith, but I told God I wasn't getting up until your mother was healed. And my dad said he closed his eyes, and he doesn't know for how long he prayed, but he said, I opened my eyes, and your mom's face was completely back to normal. Listen, tonight God wants to tell you from birth, just like Moses, there has been a plan. You cannot run away from it. You cannot run. You cannot hide. God is chasing after you. Not only does God speak when you come into His presence, not only does God remind you that He knows your name, but we continue to read, and the Word of God says that He said, I am the God, and this is God speaking to Abraham, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I'll read it again. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. What God begins to do next is we see God reminds Moses of something very important. He says, Moses, it's never been your promise. It's never been yours to fulfill the freedom of your people. Your freedom. I never gave that to you. I never told you to fulfill that in your own power. God reminds Moses and says, I'm a covenant-keeping God. The same promise that I made to your fathers, I am going to keep. When the time is right, I am going to keep that promise. And furthermore, what God began to speak to my heart is, it's easy for us to look at past generations and see the move of God. It's easy to look at revivals 50, 60 years ago and say, man, God moved. But God is asking you tonight, are you willing to believe God to be supernatural today? Not only for God to be the God of your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but God to be your God. The same miracle working God, the same God of provision, the same God of protection. Do you believe Him for that tonight? Do you believe God for that? And lastly, what I love that God does is God calls Moses. And verse 10 says, come, I will send you. Chapter 3, verse 10. Come, and I will send you. In the presence of God, God not only speaks, not only gives you those words that are so pure to your heart that keep you going just another day. He not only calls you by name and says, I know everything you're going through. He not only says, I am the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I'm the same covenant-keeping God. But He gives you a call. And He not only calls you, but gives you direction and specific instructions on how to fulfill that call of God in your life. And I love the way Moses responds when he says in verse 11, but Moses says to God, "Who am I? Who am I?" I begin to wonder what Moses was thinking of at that moment. God, I failed you. I ran away from what you called me to do. You came back in your grace. You revealed to me that it is only by your word that I can keep going. You revealed to me that you have seen me throughout these 40 years. You revealed to me that you are a covenant-keeping God, but now you're asking me to go and do something I cannot do. I've already tried to do it, God. I've already failed. And he says, "Who am I?" And I love how God responds. In the passage below, he says, "Moses, when they ask you who sent you, say, 'The I am sent you.'" Listen, it's not about who you are, who I am, who we are. It's about who he is. It's always been about who he is. It's always been about the faithfulness of God. Never your faithfulness, never my faithfulness. When God chose you, he knew you were going to fail. When God chose me, he knew I was going to fail. And listen, tonight, as those failures are pressed against your forehead, tonight, as those failures are pressed against your forehead, I believe God can reveal himself the same way he did to Moses as he did to you. Listen, we are standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground tonight. And I believe that if you believe it with your heart today and pray a prayer of faith, saying, "God, I can't run anymore. I've tried. God, you've called me to do something, and in my own flesh, it didn't work. I messed up, God. But I want to hear those words that give me life, those words that give me strength. I want to know that you see me every day. I want to have that revelation. I don't want to hear those words. I want to know it. God, I want you to reveal that to me. I want you to tell me that you are a covenant-keeping God, that you are a God of freedom, and that in your time you will bring it. God, I want you to call me and direct every single one of my steps. And more importantly, I want you to remind me tonight, God, not about my faithfulness. It's never been about my faithfulness. But God, it's about how faithful you are. It's about how faithful you are, God. Would you stand with me tonight? Tonight, if you feel like the last week has been hard and you can't enter into the presence of God and you see every single failure and you see you're not qualified to do what God has called you to do and you see there is no way, God, I can't do it in my own strength and you've run and you feel like running. Listen, tonight God wants to remind you that you are His. You are a son and a daughter, and God is pleased in your life. God is pleased not because of how great we are, but because of the life of Jesus tonight. And so I simply invite you, if you feel like you've been running from the call of God and you want to hear the voice of God tonight, you want to hear Him call you by name, you want Him to remind you He's a covenant-keeping God, you want Him to remind you of His faithfulness, and more importantly, you want to enter back into the presence of God. Have a dialogue between God, no longer a monologue. You're sick and tired of praying to the ceiling. You want to hear God. You're standing on holy ground tonight. I invite you to come. God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you chase after us, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you never give up on us, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you make no mistakes when you call people, God. That regardless of the failures, regardless of the past, God, there is purpose in our lives, God. And you have called us, Jesus, and you will give us the strength to do what you have called us to do, God. I pray, Jesus, for every person that has come to this altar, God. God, I pray you restore a devotional life, God. I pray, Jesus, that they are able to hear tonight, not my voice, God, but your voice speaking, God. Your voice that says, you are my son and my daughter in whom I am well pleased, that I love. I pray, God, that you remind us tonight that you are a covenant-keeping God. That it is not our job to make your promises come. It is your job. It is our job to simply believe, God. And I pray you will give us the faith today when we're standing on this ground to believe you, God, for the things that you have called us to do, God. Not in our own strength, God, to believe that there is a God who will give us strength. That there is a God who will give us all that we need to do what you have called us to do. And God, I pray, Jesus, for every failure, God, that looks each of us in the eye and says, look at your past. Father, I thank you, God, that we can remind the enemy that if he wants to look back, we can go back to Calvary. God, it's already taken care of. It's already taken care of, Jesus. And I thank you for that, God. I pray tonight that you, Holy Spirit, would seal this word. That you would do a deep work, God, something that we cannot do, something that a human cannot do, God, but do an eternal work tonight. I thank you for your presence and I thank you for your spirit. We bless your name and we praise you and glorify you in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Bless the Lord. I told you you're going to hear from God tonight. What a wonderful, 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 powerful, encouraging word from the Lord. Thank God. Praise God. SummitPA.org. Remember that. There are still full ride scholarships there available up till June the 30th, I think is the last day to apply. So if you're wondering what God has for your life, check that out, please, if you will. The Lord is meeting in a very, very powerful way with those that are there. And preachers of the gospel are coming out. I was speaking there just before the school year finished this year. And I gave an altar call in the chapel. I said, I want just the people who feel called to preach to come forward. I want to anoint you with oil and pray for you. And 60 young people came forward. I thought there'd be... an equal number almost of guys and girls. I thought there would be maybe 10. It was as shocking to me as anybody there. And they were weeping and trembling, feeling the call of God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is a sovereign thing that God is doing. And it's the hope that I see for this generation, for all of us. Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful word this evening, for your presence. You met with us tonight. You spoke to us tonight. From the beginning of the service, it's only been one message. Whose report do you believe? And Father, I thank you, God, that we are a people who will not settle for second best, because you deserve more than that. You are the God of this universe, and you are willing to be God in us and through us. And that should settle the argument. And so, Lord, we come to you not in our strength, but in our weakness. And we thank you that now we understand what Paul meant when he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Thank you for the strength of your spirit, for the giftings of God, for the ability to perform what you've called each of us to do. Lord, don't let us be less than what you've called us to be. Give us the grace to hear your voice, and when you call us through a door, give us the grace to walk through it and to believe you. Lord, you are the one who made our mouths, you can fill them. You made our hands, you can make them tender. You made our feet, you can make them willing to walk. Jesus, thank you for this night. We are encouraged and we're strengthened. And we give you the praise and all the glory in your precious name. Amen. I'd like you tonight to take time. We're not going to go singing tonight. Just take time to greet one another, please, if you will. Take time to make a friend. It doesn't have to be long. It can be, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. But nobody should ever leave here lonely. God bless you.